Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Minister Harold Copeland, my brother in Christ, our brother in Christ, who has been faithfully and obediently bringing the Word of God in all its richness and simplicity for us to continue to understand and hunger and thirst and know how we are one with Jesus. And yes, we're still on this wonderful series, One with Jesus. Now, I hope and pray that you continue to walk faithfully with us through this series, because the oneness with the Godhead, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a oneness that can't be broken when you have been born again. Now, if you've been following along with us in this series, you understand, and you should understand, that being one with Jesus requires you to be born again. And Brother Copeland has shared with us scripture after scripture after scripture. And we encourage you who may be listening to us for the first time, we encourage you to go back through the lesson or the series and start with part one, because this will help you better understand how, one, you were created, and two, how the soulish man and the spirit man are raging war with each other. And you'll also understand that we are one with Jesus in our spirit man. And Minister Copeland has done a wonderful, wonderful job revealing these nuggets in Scripture to us. So we just pray and hope that you go back to part one and bring yourself current, to where you could really, really eat and benefit from what Minister Copeland has been sharing with us in this teaching series, One with Jesus. So now, as we continue in the series today, we want you to go ahead and get your Bibles ready, whether it be on your device or whether you still use your Bible to flip through pages. Some love the sound of flipping the pages, going back and forth, and that's okay. And also something to take some rich nuggets with. You know, we need to get in the habit of writing notes, taking notes, so that we can go back in our private study time to reminisce and kind of ponder and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what he wants you to know and learn and love more about him. So as we continue, I don't want to further delay time as far as the broadcast is concerned, but I'm going to turn it over to Brother Harold Copeland so that he can continue to walk us through the pages as we continue to come to a beautiful understanding of how one with Jesus is the benefit of all. Minister Copeland?
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Hello again, everybody. Shalom. We release the peace of God upon you on this day. God bless you. We release blessings, 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 miracles, miracles, miracles. I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, it is an honor, a great privilege. We look forward to week after week of being in studio with you all again. We'd like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio. We always want you to know that it is an honor to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for your lives. But most importantly, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the truth of the Word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart. And this revelation knowledge of the Holy Ghost will take you to God's divine plan and purpose that he has for your life. And you too shall stand and proclamate the oracles of God to this lost and dying world. As we said earlier, we're on this awesome life-changing series, One with Jesus. And it's an honor to know that in our spirit man, as Minister Smith said, we are one with Jesus. We look just like Jesus in our spirit man. And that's so refreshing because our spirit man is the real us. The God created us. The born again us. That was born from the flesh and carnality that Adam gave us, the second Adam come forth and made provision for us to receive this resurrection life. And in this life, it is empowered by the Holy Spirit working in us, doing exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And that life, whose name is Jesus, connects our hearts back to the heart of the Father. And we are one, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They are with us forever. And they will never leave us. And they will never forsake us. They are with us until the ends of the earth. So let's dive right into the theory, the teaching. And you know, we always like to start out by reading our lunch past scripture. And I'm going to turn the microphone over to Minister Smith, and she's going to set us up by reading our lunch past scripture. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. So we're going to be reading the first launch pad scripture being 1 John chapter 4, and we'll read verse 17. And I'll be reading this in the New King James translation, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may hold boldness in the day of judgment, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Our second launch pad scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, and that also verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Amen.
Amen. As Minister Smith said earlier, encouraging you to go back for a series if you missed it and catch up and update yourself, because we started out by solidifying through teaching of the Word of God that we are in our spirit man one with Jesus, and we release the appropriate scripture to solidify this awesome life-changing message. Now, once we solidify that this awesome truth, we begin to pull out blessings that come, that we receive for being one with Jesus. And the first blessing was sealed, that all that oneness with the Holy Spirit, that oneness with the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, that oneness with God the Father, our heart connected back to his heart, all of that oneness has been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And we can't mess it up. People can't mess it up. The devil and his demons can't mess it up. Even our mistakes or our sins cannot destroy that oneness because it's sealed tight with the Holy Spirit. And another blessing we received was we have an eternal righteous inheritance, an eternal redemption. In other words, all of our sins have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I say all, I mean all. It's a blessing to know that after we receive this salvation, that our sins we committed before has been washed in the blood. But it's an awesome truth to know that not just the sins of yesterday, but the sins of today, tomorrow, and forever have already been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you're born again, if you're saved, God looks at you as if you were sinless. He never sees sin again once you receive his gift of salvation. And the word we use for that is called justified. And the definition of justified, we find it by breaking the word down, justified. Just if I have never committed not one sin, that's justified. And God sees us justified. If you're born again, you stand in the presence of God justified, just as if you have never committed not one sin. What a miracle. What a mighty God we serve. That's how much he loves us. He loves us so much that once he saved us, once we received the salvation, he seals it on the inside so he will not lose us. He do not want to lose us. And he made it possible that we cannot lose this great salvation. Now, once people get this and they understand that their performance, whether it's a good performance or a bad performance, it doesn't affect their born again spirit or their relationship with God. You know, then questions begin to arise. You know, some people say, what are you saying? God love me, and I won't lose my right standing with him no matter what. Do you mean I can just go live in sin? And see, Paul dealt with this question. And when you teach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and you teach it the way Paul taught it, this question should come up. And let's look at the question. The question will be found in the book of Romans, chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 1.
Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Continue in sin, that grace may abound?
Let's read 2 also, please.
Verse 2, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer than it? Amen.
Amen. So the question is, all of our sins are paid for, and God sealed this oneness, this righteousness, this holiness, this one with the Holy Ghost, this one with Jesus, one heart to heart with God. God sealed it, and I can't mess it up. Even if I sin, I don't mess it up. So you mean I could go on sinning so that grace may abound? And Paul says in verse 2, he answered the question. And the question is, certainly not. God forbid. And this question must come up if you're teaching the gospel that Paul was teaching. And if this question do not come up when one is teaching this gospel, they're not preaching the same gospel as the Apostle Paul was preaching. Paul had to deal with this question many times in the gospel. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, verse 8.
Romans 3, verse 8. And it reads, and why not say, let us do evil that good may come. As we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say their condemnation is just. Amen.
Amen. Let us look at Romans chapter 6, verse 15.
What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Amen.
It is. Certainly not. Galatians 2 and 17.
Galatians 2, 17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not.
Amen. And as I always say, that we, Admission from the Heart Radio, we do not preach sin, that it's okay to sin. We agree with Paul. Certainly not. Amen. But God, after we receive this great salvation, God no longer is putting sin on our account. All of our sins have been paid for. And we talked about this the other day, that We do have an enemy. And when we sin, we open ourselves up and make ourselves available to him. And it is not if he come in. You better believe he's going to come in, because he's like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. And every time we yield to sin, we are giving him the opportunity to devour us. That's why Paul says, certainly not. Amen. I'm going to ask the question, and we're all going to answer it together. What shall we say there? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Answer, certainly not. Amen. Now, even though we would have to explain what we mean, this question should come up when you are teaching the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But nobody interprets most churches today as saying, you can just go live in sin. Because they are busy preaching so hard against sin. So the question never comes up. Most teaching, we can say most teaching today ties God's love and acceptance to our performance. These messages given in the name of the Lord produce a work righteousness, which is self-righteousness based on your action. The Bible doesn't teach that God accepts or rejects us because of our actions. The Bible teaches that our actions can never be good enough. God's word says he accepts us based on whether our spirit is righteous or not. Our spirit doesn't become righteous through our good actions and attitude. This righteousness that is equal to God's righteousness comes through confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When we got born again, God gave us this brand new spirit. Righteousness is in the spirit, which we call the nature. It's not based on actions. Even we did not become sinners because of our sinful actions. We was born in sin because we was born with a sinful nature. It's the nature that made us sinners. And once we get born again, God changes our nature. And that old nature dies, which we're going to see in Scripture, and the new nature come alive. I said we come alive in the inner being. That oneness with Jesus, that Jesus is. So what we right now in this world, he that joined unto the Lord is one in spirit. Become alive in that great spirit that God has given us. And Jesus himself, he connects us back to the Father. Amen. We was born in this world, born in sin. We were born separated from Daddy God. Amen. But Jesus came in and Jesus made us whole again. And that connection back to the Father. Now they, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live on the inside of us. If you can get this revelation, it will radically change your life and change your walk with this God. Amen. Because we plug up back to him from the inside out. Amen. And that connection stays there forever. Amen. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Amen. Glory to God. He's not just with us when we in praise and worship, a high praise and worship service. He's not just with us when we are reading the scriptures or we're studying the Bible. God is with us in our worst time. When we don't even feel like we say God is still with us. When we allow depression and anxiety to come in sometime, God is still with us. And if we just take our eyes off of that depression situation or whatever brought that anxiety and begin to look on the inside of us and see the beauty of the holiness of the presence of God that's on the inside. Hallelujah. Joy will begin to bubble up out of us in the midst of that circumstance and situation. The fruit of the Spirit will begin to manifest within us. Love, the agape, the unconditional love of God. Joy, peace. He long-suffering, God. I know that to be true because we've been long-suffering with Brother Hal. Amen. Faith. The gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. The fruit, the evidence that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. Amen. We have a righteous spirit, and God will always call us righteous. And it does not come from our actions. It comes through that confession of Jesus Christ. So the question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Now, the next question that comes up when one realizes the goodness that is on the inside of them and nothing on the outside of them can mess it up. The question is, are you saying it doesn't matter how I live? And no, that is not what Paul was saying, and that is not what we are saying. And Romans 6, Paul gave two reasons why a Christian should live holy. Now, this was solidified right here. Even though God is not holding our sins against us, he's not counting our sins, and he don't have a notepad following us around, and they got angels following us around, and they, oh, he messed up over there, write it down. Oh, he messed up over there, write it down. Nope. We are righteous. But Paul gives the reason why we should not sin. So let's read Romans chapter 6, verses 2 and 3.
Romans 6, 2 and 3. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Amen.
Amen. We are no longer a child of the devil who loves to sin. Let's be real. We do still sin, but sin is not our nature anymore. We do not have a sin nature. And God knows us by the nature we carry, and God deals with us by the nature we carry. And if you're born again, you have a righteous nature. Our spirit has been changed. And we no longer enjoy sin. Every believer that's born again, every born again believer has a built-in desire to live holy. Every born-again believer has a built-in desire to live holy. 1 John 3:3. Let us read that.
First John 3:3. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Amen.
Amen. We are pure. The real us. No matter what our thoughts are saying, guess what? They lying. No matter what our feelings are saying, guess what? They are lying. It's the truth that speak. And the truth is the word of God. And the word of God clearly shows us that we are pure. We've been purified. We've washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been cleansed. We've been purged. Amen. We put on a robe of righteousness on the inner being. We put on Christ. Hallelujah. And see, we have to learn how to live out of this great spirit. Amen. We have to learn, amen, not to let our thoughts control us. If our thoughts are not lined up with the word of God, they are lying. Amen. Glory to God. and the word of God that is in our hearts, in our spirit, man, our life comes out of our spirit, man. Glory to God. We can't make a life. You know, people say, well, we can't make a life. Life is given. Life is given to us, and life comes from God, and life is imparted into our spirit man by virtue of the word of God and the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On the inside of us, in our spirit, we are wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. We have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelling in us. And that power has quickened us, it's quickened us, made us alive. And our life has come forth from the inner being. Let's solidify that. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read 18 through 20. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that.
It says the same power that he wrought in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead. That same, that dead raising power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. That same power that called Lazarus out of the grave. Amen. That power is in us. Amen. This just can't be theory. Amen. This has to become a reality. Glory to God. Amen. And that power has to be activated. And the way we activate the power is just by believing the scripture. Amen. Not in our head, but believing it from our hearts. He said, for above powers and principalities. So this power that we have in us, the Holy Spirit power, is the greatest power in the heavens and in the earth and under the earth. And I say it like this, that we have the power that is greater than power. Amen. Anything the enemy can conjure up, amen, it's lesser than the power that we have in us. You know, I meditate that scripture. When I say I meditate, it's ponder. I ponder it. I savor it. You know, I walk around my house saying I got the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead working in me. Amen. I say over and over and over again what I'm doing. I'm activating it. I'm activating that power, stirring up that power on the inside of me. Glory to God. Amen. Getting that power to work in me and through me. Glory to God. Amen. And once it begins to work in me, glory to God. Amen. Then I can, somebody may be sick, and I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. We all can do it because we all got the power. Look at somebody and say, you got the power. Yes, you do. Amen. Look at yourself and say, I got the power. You got the power. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in there. But you got to activate it through the word of God. Now let's look at, this good news. And this is what we're teaching. Amen. The gospel is good news. Amen. God is a good judge. he don't sit there with his gavel and just waiting for us to mess up so he could pop us upside the head with his gavel. No. Amen. We mess up. He could stick out his right hand and say, take my hand, and pull us up. And then, you know, through scripture, he reminds us, now you got the power to stand. Man, you got the power to go a little further this time. And remember, you know, you have to remind us that I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm always with you. And I promise you, I'm going to be with you until the ends of the earth. What a mighty God. I said, what a mighty God that we serve. Glory to God. The angels bow down before him. Glory. You know, remember that old song? The angels, the elders and the angels adore him. What a mighty God we serve. And then another verse came in, and it was saying, it brought the name of that God, Jesus. And said, Jesus is the God that we serve. Hallelujah. Glory. Jesus is the God that we serve. Heaven and earth adore him. The angels bow down before him. Jesus is the God that we serve. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, Jesus is the God that we serve. See, this is good news. We do not preach the law. Amen. Glory to God, because we are no longer under the law. We do not preach legalism. Well, you got to do that, and you got to do it that way, and you got to do it that way. No, we don't preach that. That's religion. Preach religion. We don't preach, teach works. We do not teach works. Amen. We teach believing and receiving a newness of life that only God can give us. Because legalism and the law and religious works, they only strengthen sin. That's all they do. They make it harder. When somebody tell you not to do something, don't do that. I mean, glory to God, now you're tempted to do it. Praise God. Amen. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15:56.
Corinthians 15:56. And it reads this way. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Amen.
Amen. See, the law makes us sin. Don't do, don't do, don't do. And that makes you want to do, make you want to do, make you want to do. The law makes you sin more by causing you to lust for the very thing that's forbidden. That's why God gave the law. Mankind was being destroyed by sin. But man deceived himself into thinking he was still good. So God answered, saying, oh, you think you're okay? Let me show you what the real standard is. The law made sin come alive so we would recognize our need for a Savior. Hallelujah. The law made sin come alive so we would recognize our need for a Savior. Romans 7:9. Chapter 7, verse 9.
Verse 9. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Amen.
Amen. Without the law, Paul said he was alive, but then the commandment, the law came, and the law just showed us how dead we were in trespasses and sin. Galatians 3:24.
Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Amen.
Amen. So the law purpose was to bring us to Christ. And there was that beautiful word, that we may be justified. Just if I haven't ever committed a sin. Justified. So God's purpose in sending the law was to make us bow our knee and confess, God, have mercy on me. Somebody say that. Say, God, have mercy on me. I can't do it. I can't break these sins. God, have mercy on me. The law wasn't given to help us overcome sin. It was to show us that sin had already overcome us. The law actually strengthened sin, as we read, and gave sin so much power that it would effectively remove the deception that we could ever get rid of sin on our own. Religion, however, turned it around and said, the law was given to help us overcome sin, and that is not true. The law purpose is to bring us to Christ. Like what Jesus would say, Jesus would say, bring them to me. Amen. Holy Spirit would say, bring them to me. God the Father would say, bring them to me. And as we hear the Spirit cry, the Spirit calling the hearts of those that haven't came to Jesus yet. For we know that there's someone in the listening area that haven't received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you know, we are just so full of joy, and we just rejoice for what God has done and is doing, is going to continue to do through Mission from the Heart. He gave us the greatest gift that any ministry would want to have. And he gave us the seal to be a salvation ministry. Amen. He gave us the word and the power of his Spirit that we can bring them to Jesus, bring them to the Holy Spirit, bring their hearts back to the heart of God. And I tell you what, I sense the presence of the Spirit of the living God. And every time he comes, he comes to bring them to Jesus. And I know what I do in this hour, in this moment, in this precious time. I get out of the way, and I stop and drop and pray, and I turn the mic over to Minister Smith, because God has anointed her with that salvation anointing to bring unto Jesus. Minister Smith, bring unto Jesus.
Praise the Lord. This is an opportunity for us to get right. I like to say, to get right with Christ, and that is to have a deep, deep desire in your soul, that just hungers and thirsts for the Lord to be right with him. And what do we mean by right? Right standing in that righteousness of Christ, and so that we are God's righteousness through our faith. And Minister Copeland has shown us scripture after scripture after scripture to show us, to prove to us, to show how the scriptures don't lie. And I pray that you've written them down to the very one Because as you go back and read the passages of these scriptures in Romans, in 1 John 3, Ephesians 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Romans 6 and Romans 7, all of that, even in Galatians, those scriptures are to solidify in your mind. There would be no doubt of at all, because the enemy of doubt, a.k.a. Satan, will throw little darts at you to trip you up, that you would doubt about the work. He did it to Eve and Adam in the garden. He will try to do it to us. But when you stand firm on the very word of God, as Minister Copeland teaches us week after week in his series, if we stand firm on the promises of Christ, the promises of the word of God, then it doesn't matter what dart hits you on the left or the right or in the front or in the back. We can stand firm, suited up, as they say, with the full armor of God on, and know that we know that we know that the promises in God's word are solid, rock solid, that the promises of God's word do not change. Because he's a God that does not lie. So you have that opportunity right now, to give your life to Christ. We call this portion of the broadcast Stop, Drop, and Pray. And so we take this area just as serious, if not more serious, than the word of God being exposed, as Minister Copeland does. We expose the word. We also extend the word. And that's what this ministry is about, extending salvation to you. And so this is where we want to stop, drop, and pray, as we say, that you would get right in right standing, if you will, with Jesus Christ, meaning, here I am, Lord. I surrender my life to you. Now, it's a heart thing. It's not a mind thing. It's a heart thing that triggers the mind to say yes to Christ, yes to the Father. And this is where we want to extend that to you right now, my brother, my sister. We don't know who you are, but you know who you are, and God knows you better than you know yourself. So he provided this day, this hour, for you to say yes to him. Don't let another day pass. Don't turn on the knob or the clock of procrastination. Take care of it now. This is our word to you, that you come to know him, being born again through salvation, through faith in the one who died for you on the cross. Jesus is his name. And so we want you to understand how important that all have sinned. Yes, Scripture tells us, and we all have sinned. We were born in sin. But Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we have. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in who? As Minister Copeland said, it's Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. Through faith, he demonstrated his righteousness, my brother, my sister. Jesus demonstrated his righteousness. And this is what we need to understand. And so that's why we press so hard at Mission from the Heart Radio, that you would give Christ your heart. He did what no other would do for you. He did it for me. He did it for Brother Copeland and so many and everyone in this world. But it's up to us to say yes to Christ. Up to each individual to say yes to Christ. And it's our prayer that all will. But right now, this is your day, and this is your hour, and this is your time right now. So we want to pray with you as you position yourself, whether it be a bowed head or maybe you can lay down flat on the floor, or maybe you're just able to get down on your knees and pray to the Lord. It doesn't matter your position. Just get your heart in position wholeheartedly, not half-hearted, wholeheartedly, and position yourself to at the feet of Jesus. Think about that. Think about that and how you're bowing down at the feet of Jesus. Just imagine that beautiful picture with you being that child, bowing your head down in a reverential position, praying to him, crying out to him, Lord, here I am. So let's pray. Now it's my words as I say, but it's your heart. God sees your heart. So make sure that you are ready, willing, and able to say, yes, Lord, yes. So let's pray. Father, Lord God, here I am, loving you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I come with nothing but myself, and I surrender my hands to you. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my mind to you. Lord, you know how messed up I was, and I still feel as though I am, but I know in my heart I'm doing the right thing by saying yes to your will, yes to your way, and yes to your eternal life. Lord, I don't have anything, but I know I have a love for what Jesus did for me and a love for who you are as King of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy on me. I'm undeserving, Lord God. But because of your tremendous love for me, I thank you. You are my faith. You are my mercy. You are my grace, Lord. And here I am saying yes to you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for saving me. I trust and believe you and you alone. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, I pray. Amen and amen. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As you rise up, blessed be the name of the Lord. We are rejoicing with you. Praise God. This is a day of rejoicing. Hallelujah. Now we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church, my brother, my sister. Also, that you would be baptized by submersion of water. This is a wonderful way, a beautiful way to let the world know that you are a Christ follower, that you said yes to Jesus, that you are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you are a child of God, born again, a new nature, as Minister Copeland explains so wonderfully to us, that new nature, that spirit man is no longer dead, but he is alive, hallelujah, with Christ. And this is a wonderful, joyous time for you to share your testimony and how you were once a sinner, but now you are a child of light. Praise the Lord. Also within that church, seek out a small group, Sunday school class, that you could maybe continue to grow and go until you can be connected with other brothers and sisters in Christ that would hold you accountable, keep you undergirded, if you will, walk alongside you, that you would grow and mature in the Word of God. Continue to listen to Mission from the Heart. Also, maybe a small group discipleship within that church. Also, it's all working together for the good of you, because your love for God is totally amazing. And what He returns, we are heirs in Christ. And so we just are super excited, my brother, my sister, for what you have done today. Today is a new day for you, a day of remembering. And so I'm going to have Minister Copeland to continue to share in this joy for what you have done, and that's giving your heart to the one and only true God, Jesus Christ. Minister Copeland.
Amen. God is good, and He deserves all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. For new birth has come forth. The spirit of the born-again life was released into the hearts and the minds of God's people. God's people was given that new nature and put off that old nature, that old corrupted nature, corrupted all of its deceitful ways. And now it's time to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new nature, which is created after Christ Jesus in righteousness and true holiness. The angels are rejoicing. My heart is rejoicing. Minister Smith's heart is rejoicing. But most importantly, Daddy God's heart is rejoicing that ye have taken the time to receive the greatest gift that anyone in human can receive, that gift from the Father. The gift of Lord Jesus Christ living in your heart. The gift of the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit working in you, doing exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And that great gift where one heart becomes reunited back to the heart of God. And one began to walk with God on this journey for all eternity. And Father, we just give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. For you are good Daddy, you are good, good Father. And Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness, that you just so love us, God, that you gave your best so you can bring us, adopt us into the family. And Father God, we just rejoice, our heart rejoices, our mind rejoices, and we just bubble up in your goodness, Lord, that those that have come into the kingdom, our brothers and our sisters, that have been adopted to the family through the power of your word and the power of your great spirit. And God, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. Welcome, 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 welcome. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. And please listen to those great instructions that was given by that Bible-believing church and that small group and accountability partners, and continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio. Hallelujah. That you may grow, amen, into that goodness, into the goodness of God. Grow and mature, as Minister Smith was saying. Glory to God. We appreciate you. We love you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, in the time that we have left, we're going to bring in another good reason. You know, like we said, God is not holding our sins against us, and he don't have angels following us around writing down every time we mess up. You know, God sees us. We use the word righteous, and Minister Smith read that great scripture of justified, the justification. Amen. And that's who we are. Amen. And you have to realize that you're not what you do. Amen. You who the word of God say you are. Can't nobody tell you who you are since you're born again. The only one that can tell you who you are is God, and he does it through his word. Amen. Your actions do not solidify you. Amen. If your actions are not lined up with the word, then go to the word, amen, and begin to confess the word out of you. And that life will begin to flow out of you, and your outward will begin to line up with your inward. It's just speaking the word. It's God's word. And get to the point where nobody has to convince you that the word of God is true, amen. You solidify that in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. And I just draw the line in the sand. I believe it's true because it's God's word. And I don't need no more explanation. So begin to speak the word of God. There's a scripture that says, let the poor say I'm rich. Amen. If you have a financial problem, then just quote that scripture. I'm rich. I'm rich. The word of God said. Let the weak say, I'm strong. If you feel weak, get up in the morning, you feel weak. Just speak strength. Strength out of your spirit, man. Strength from the inside. And once we begin to release it, then it'll take over the outside. Praise God. Now, another reason we do not sin, well, you know, one reason we're dead to sin, and we got a new nature. We got a new nature. And it's not a sin nature, it's a righteous nature. But this is the main reason we do not sin. We should not. And if we do, we confess. We repent. If we do sin, we repent. Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 16. This is a very important reason not to sin.
Romans 6:16. And it says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Amen.
Amen. So when a Christian sins, in layman's terms, out of that scripture, we become slaves to the devil. Now, that's a good reason not to say it. He become our master. Amen. And if you understand anything, you know, about slaves, the slave never tells the master what to do. The master called the shot. And so when a Christian sin, they're not getting away with nothing. Let me say, we are not getting away with anything. We are really in a bad situation. And we don't need our brothers and sisters to get mad at us, but we need them to pray for us. So if you know a brother and sister in sin, you may be in sin, I may be in sin, pray for each other. That there'll be a turnaround. Because that scripture says we can yield to obedience. That we come out of that disobedient state and we yield to obedience and we step back into the position. And we never lose that righteousness. But we step into a righteous action, not to get righteous. We're already righteous. But that our actions line up with our outward actions line up with our inner being. That our walk and our talk come together. So, Satan wants to bring death into our lives any way he can, in the form of sickness, that's death, disease, that's death, poverty, is death, shame, you ever been ashamed? Horrible, that's death, depression, discouragement. And see, Satan used all sorts of nasty ways to bring death into our lives. So why would we give him the opportunity to come against us like that just by willingly going into sin? No. And I say it again. As a Christian, we don't have to live holy in order for God to accept us, in order for God to be pleased with us. But our actions and our attitudes do determine how we get along with other people and whether or not the devil has access into our lives. That's why it's still to our advantage to live a holy life. Praise God. That we may glorify God, our Father, because he has already glorified us. Amen. This nature that we're talking about, this oneness that we're talking about, it's the glory of God. Amen. And we can sum it up just like that. The glory of God is in us. And those that got saved today got the same amount of glory as Minister Smith and I. We got the same glory living on the inside of us. And that glory has a name. And his name is Jesus. As Jesus is, so are we right now in this world. He that is joined to the Lord is one in spirit. Hallelujah. May the grace of God go before you on this day. May the peace of God rest and abide in our hearts and our minds forever. And may the love of God overflow out of every one of us, that others may come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, amen. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This has been a wonderful time in the Lord's Word together. And it just delights my soul to sit and listen on how to receive and allow God's Word to breathe upon us, my brothers and sisters. So sometimes it's just hard to let go of this lesson each time we gather together. But it is a wonderful thing, a wonderful time, and a wonderful way for us to continue to grow in his word. So thank you, Minister Copeland, for exposing the word and expounding on the word. And as you have given your life to Christ, what a joy it is to know that you are in the household of faith. Hallelujah. Always remember that the grass withers and the flowers fadeth away. But the word of God, the word of God, the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. And that is just a wonderful thing to grasp, that it will always be here, remaineth forever. So God bless you, my brothers and sisters, and we'll be here again with you and for you on Mission from the Heart Radio. God bless.